Peter is writing during the time of the Roman Empire, right prior to Nero's most severe persecutions. And he is writing a letter. This is a letter that we're studying, and he's writing this letter to believers, people that have trusted in Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And these people have been scattered throughout the Roman Empire because of persecution. And so, what we have here is Peter is seeking to encourage these people. And he's encouraging them in their great salvation that they have in Jesus Christ. And now what we've been studying is we have been studying now the practical ways in which God desires us, you and me, those that know Jesus, to live in a challenging world. Would you agree with me that it's a challenging world today? It's tough. It's tough because the world is going an opposite direction than that of which the Bible speaks. It's opposite. And so those of us that trust in Jesus and follow the Word of God are going against the flow. It means it's challenging. And Peter here is writing to people that are challenged by the world. In chapter 2, and I want to turn our attention back there before we jump into chapter 3. Chapter 2, I just want to review a couple verses, because our study really finds its basis in these couple verses. Chapter 2, verse 9 says this, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved," this is verse 11, chapter 2, "dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation," now catch this, "having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Did you catch that? God is asking you and me that we live lives that point to Jesus, that point others to Jesus. I believe we would all agree that those of us that we work with, those that we play with, those that we shop with, they're watching our lives. And if they know that you love Jesus, they're really watching you to see if you're for real or not. They're really watching you to see if your God is for real. Is your God for real? Does he really work in your life? Has he changed your life? Since you've claimed to know Christ, has your life gradually become more like Jesus? People are watching that. And that speaks loudly of the power of God. Listen, folks, that's why you and I are still here on this earth. Because if God wanted to, he could take us like that. But no, he has left us, those of us that love Jesus and trusted in him, he has kept us here so that we can point others to him. So this is the context now where we jumped into chapter 3, where it talks about submission. And we've talked about submission in three different areas already. We've talked about submission now as citizens to our government. We've talked about the workplace, being employees, and being in submission to those that are our employers. And a couple of weeks ago, we began our study in the home and in the family. And we've talked about the submission of a wife in the home to her own husband. You know, when we talk about this idea of submission, it always rattles our cages because it's hard. It's challenging, isn't it? It's hard to honor people in our government when we disagree with them. It's hard when we have a boss that treats us unfairly. It's hard. But God asks us to place ourselves. Submission really is what you're doing is you're willingly placing yourself under their authority. Why? Because it's God's designed plan. I don't know, think with me now about from the very beginning how God designed the world. God designed it with structure and order. He did not just cast things out and expect them to just all operate on the same level playing field. No, there is order and structure in God's world. And God, in his infinite wisdom, realized that that was necessary for these things to work properly. And so we have God's instructions on how we are to operate under his designed plan of order and structure in the government, in our workplace, and now in the home, in the family, in the marriage. The context, the immediate context here is in when he talks with wives is especially to those wives that are married to unbelieving husbands. Because really in the Roman culture, I tell you that it was hard for a man to trust Christ. Because there was such status in the Roman culture and society. And the men had incredible power. The women were very low. They were suppressed. They were not much more than a household slave. It has been told that if there was a problem, if the wife offended the husband, he had all rights and authority to cast her out or even to have her killed. This was the Roman society. But realize this also, that the gospel of Jesus Christ impacted first and foremost, in the majority of cases, those women and the slaves, those people that were oppressed and looking for hope. The Lord Jesus and the gospel, it reached out to those people and they responded. And Peter's talking to them here and saying, listen, I understand you are in oppressed situations, challenging times. This is God's instructions for you. And so you have the wives and they're living in these types of homes and it's challenging. If they trust Christ and their husband does not believe. And so in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, you have God's instructions to wives that have unbelieving husbands. And I believe what we discussed that already a couple weeks ago, but I do want to review that God's instructions for those women was that they, yes, live in submission to their husbands. Why? Because it's been God's design for marriage from the very beginning. Remember, God created things with order and structure. And the same goes for the home and marriage. It is God's design that there be that structure. Because realize this with me, that if there was not structure, if there was not order, there would be what? Chaos. And what do we experience in many homes today? Chaos. Why? Because people have not submitted to God's designed plan. I tell you, if there is chaos in your home, the answer is understand and submit to God's designed plan. And God's designed plan is not about suppressing one and lifting the other. No, it's about uniting the two and allowing a unit to operate for his honor and glory and praise. Allowing both to flourish. For really what we flourish when we are in God's proper structural form. And so the women to live in submission, to live with modesty, to concentrate not on their outward appearance, but to concentrate on their heart. And then what to live with a gentle and peaceable spirit. The instructions were to the women that they should not nag their unbelieving husbands and, you know, lay tracks all over the couches and turn on the Christian radio station when he comes home. No, they are to live a godly life. Why? Remember those verses I read at the beginning. So that they may see your life and that they may then see Jesus. Now, what we are coming to now is Peter's exhortation to husbands. And you may ask, and you know, there are 6 verses for women, and 1 verse for the husbands. And the very reason is the culture. The women experienced tremendous challenges, and Peter needed to instruct them and help them in this. The husbands, what their status, they were already in the control of their home. And if a man, the man of the home, would trust in Jesus, what would be the result? Slaves would begin to enjoy their master, right? The wives would begin to appreciate their husbands and in turn respect them. Why? Because the husbands were in control of the home in that culture. And so Peter here, as he addresses this one verse, verse 7, to husbands. But let me tell you, this one verse is packed. Packed with power. Let's look at this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Now, if you notice, the first word, it says, "likewise." What's that tell you? All right, it ties us right in with what's been going on in the previous verses. The context, again, is submission. Submission to your government, submission to your employer, submission to the husband. Now, I believe here what God is saying is, husbands, in the same way that you're to submit in all those other areas, please now submit to God's design for your marriage and for your role. Submit to God's designed plan. What's that mean? Well, God's designed plan is that your wife is to submit to you. Well, you should submit to God's design that's for her. And what's that mean? You live with her in an understanding way. You see, we're going to look here, and I believe there's 3 different things that I want us to take away today. If you're taking notes, submit to God's design, husbands. You seek to understand her. And then finally, you show her honor. And we're going to look at each one of those in detail. Let me review them. Submit to God's design. That's God's design plan. You seek to understand your wife. And then you show her honor. Are we ready? Let's be real men about this. This is God's design plan. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Submitting to God's design plan is important because it puts us in the right position to accomplish what this verse tells us to do. You know, when we are not looking at the husband-wife, the marriage relationship, through God's eyes, the way God sees it, these kinds of things will be practically impossible for you to do. It is imperative that we understand God's design plan for marriage. You see, our flesh just does not understand this profound wisdom of God. I mean, talk to me. Listen, those in the world, when they hear these kinds of things, they're like, that doesn't make sense. That's illogical. The people that don't know Jesus, when they talk about submission, why? Why do I need to submit? Let me live my own life. You know, they're looking at these truths and they're saying, let's forget it, because they're not seeing things through God's design plan. You know, our perspective is so very important when we study these things. And so you and I have to begin here, husbands, men, we have to begin by asking God, help us to see my wife, to see this marriage, to see this home through your eyes, that I may be doing these things under your power. We have to submit to God. I believe your ways are the right ways. What's Isaiah say? Your ways are higher than my ways. God's ways are higher than ours. We have to submit to that idea in our minds, men, women, in order to help us understand these things and put them into practice. If you're not willing to do that, then you're going to struggle to accomplish these other things. So first, submit yourself to God's design plan. Say, God, I believe your ways are right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says this, "Now that we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural, or the fleshly man, receives not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are what? Foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." Listen, folks. Understanding and knowing Jesus is the beginning for all of these things. These things are not going to make sense if you do not know the God of the Scriptures and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's going to sound like foolishness to you. That's the way it sounded to those of us before we knew Jesus. When we trusted in him and his saving blood, then it begins then, once we would trust Jesus and saving his saving blood, the picture begins to become clear. It makes sense. So we see here, submit. Likewise, you husbands, submit to God's design plan for your home, your marriage, your wife, your family. And then secondly, husbands, listen, we've got to, not only we got to submit, we've got to seek to understand her. I had to laugh when I looked at my notes and I saw this word, seek to understand her. Because I tell you, I think we all agree that they are a mystery in many ways, right? Many times it is challenging, but you know, God asked us here. What's he say? He says, dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, there's a lot packed into that one phrase. Dwell with them. That word there speaks of continually. In the original language, it's just you're to continually dwell or live with them. That word speaks of the home, living in the same place. Dwelling, abiding together. You know, we're talking about seeking to understand her. Well, how do we do that? Well, first, we've got to live with her. We live there in the same home, interacting, doing the same things together, living with her, dwell with them. And this is a continual, remember, continually dwelling with her. So you dwell with her in how? In an understanding way. In an understanding way. Dwell with them according to knowledge. That word there is a very, very interesting word. Knowledge. It speaks of experientially having contact with things or knowing these things by your true feelings and being there and experiencing them. It's gnosko in the original language, in the Greek. This is the same word that speaks of when a man would know a woman and they would have a child. Does that speak to you? That's understanding way. That is with knowledge. We're talking about here knowing your wife. And you know her how? Physically. Physically, sexually, intimately, spiritually. We must seek to understand these dear women. Understand their hearts and the work that God is doing in their lives. emotionally. And this is where many of us check out. We are to seek to understand our wives, men. And what's this mean? This means we're going to not only live with her, we've got to study her. You know, as I was thinking about this, I was trying to think of some way, illustration to bring this across. And the best thing I could think of, and this may be poor, but maybe we'll remember this, is I remember the first time I had to change a light bulb in my car, headlight. And I believe that they're halogen. And I could, and my dad was with me, and, you know, so I go get the light bulb, and, you know, your temptation, you want to get it done quick. You rip it open, grab the light bulb out, and you put it in. Well, many of you that know understand, I'm doing this for the men, but many of you understand that with a lot of those light bulbs, they have specific instructions on how you're supposed to handle the light bulb. Right? So you know, if you could just take it out and put it in, and what, the light bulb would only last for a certain amount of time. But if you spend the time and study the instructions and seek to understand how this thing works, your light bulb will burn and burn bright for a long time. You know, we need to be like that. We need to seek to understand who our wives are, understand them, because understanding them will enable them and allow them to thoroughly flourish under our leadership. Living with her, studying her, and knowing her. Those three things, if you want to remember them. If I want to seek to understand my wife, I need to live with her. I need to study her. Study her, men. Seek to, you know, we did that when we were dating, right? We did that when we were dating. We studied her. We found out what flowers she liked. We found out what was her favorite color. What food did she like? We studied her. And we need to know her. And when I say no, the big part of that is meet her physical needs. Having that intimate physical connection means a whole bunch to the marriage union. It's so, so very vital that we connect more than just on a spiritual and emotional level, but we've got to be physical. Dwell with them according to knowledge. A big reason here of why we are to be doing this is the third reason here. We see we are to be showing her honor. You see here in our text, verse 7, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. What? Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. We see two reasons why we need to be giving honor. And let me first define what honor really is. When we talk about giving honor, that means that we are continually, this is that same idea of like dwelling, continually assigning or apportioning the value and respect due to her because she's your wife. And realize that being a wife, that's a title that's only given in the context of marriage. So that gives great value just in that title alone. That she is a valuable part of that union, husband and wife. And the wife needs to be given the value and respect due to her. Why? Well, here we see, because as unto a weaker vessel. A weaker vessel. Notice that word weaker. That means that men, you and I are weak. She's just a little bit weaker. Let's just remember that. Let's remember that you and I, we're weak. Our wives are a little bit weaker. That word, their vessel, I like the illustration of when you pull out your kitchen utensil drawer and you look in there and you've got a whole array of different kinds of things, different utensils, different vessels. All of the vessels aren't the same. All of them do not have the same kind of strength. Some are stronger than others. But all are very useful. In the same way, we are all very useful to the kingdom of God and useful in the home and in the marriage. But God, again, in His design, has designed men to be the weak ones and women to be a little bit weaker. I say it that way to get our perspective, our mind, in the right place. We're all weak. We are all need to submit to God's design. Husbands, God, help me. Help me to understand my wife. Understand her and then show her honor. And why else? Because you are both heirs together of the grace of life. Simply put, grace is what? A gift. And the very bottom line, I think, of this sentence here is that you both have been graciously given life and life together. And if that's the only reason, that is an incredible reason to honor her. Because God has given you both life. Honor your wife. Honor her as a creation of God and one that He has graciously put into your life to live with you together. As being heirs together of the grace of life, finally, that your prayers be not hindered. Remember the context? Roman society, challenging times. And many times here, if a husband were to be the first one saved, but if he would continue to treat his wife in such a way that he did not seek to understand her, that he did not submit to God's design, his prayers that his wife would be saved, they would be hindered by his poor testimony. Did you see that? You and I, when we seek to pray for someone that they might see Jesus, may our life not get in the way. Okay? Because our life speaks very loudly, doesn't it? They see our life. And we are praying for them. Husbands, praying for your wives, praying for them. Your life needs to back up. Needs to fall under the God's design plan so that your wife will see Jesus and will want to know God. See, these Romans, these men, before they met Jesus, their wife was a little bit better than a slave. He could tell her whatever she wanted to do. But now, and with these instructions, Peter is saying, seek to understand her. Show her honor. That your prayers be not hindered. So listen, believing husbands, you're praying for your wife. You pray that she wants to, that she comes to Jesus, or that she grow in Christ. Treat her like God wants you to treat her, so that when you pray, there's not a conflict there of well, he lives this, treats me this way, but he's praying for me. It doesn't make sense. You want it all, you want your prayers and your life to join together so that they both will please God and point people to Jesus Christ. Remember, that's the whole context here, that people will behold God and glorify Him in the day of visitation. Let's remember that. Remember that God has us here so that he may use us to point others to himself. So husbands, submit to God's design plan for your home, for your marriage. Give up your doing your own way. Give it up. You've got chaos in your home, struggles in your marriage. A lot of that stems from doing things your own way. Listen, God designed marriage. Do you think he knows how it should work? And what we've seen today is just one passage that speaks and tells us of how we should be living in our homes. So understand God's design plan. And then seek to understand your wife. Seek to understand who she is. Live with her. Dwell with her in the house. Spend time with her. Study her. Know her. And then finally, show her honor. For she has great value as being a created being in the image of God. And God has placed her under your care in your home. And what a privilege that should be, men, to show one of God's prized creations love and honor. And then what's the final thought there? Prayer, that your prayers be not hindered. One, we need to be praying. And two, our life should back up what we're praying about. It should live in accordance with the things that our God has instructed us to do. So there we have it. God's design plan. May we all submit to his better way. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And I thank you that we can know your ways. I thank you, Lord, that your ways, we know we can trust them because they are right and perfect. And God, I praise you today for speaking to us through your word and for using a feeble creature like myself. What a blessing it is to be able to know and understand your word. And I pray, Lord, that we would go from this place carrying your word with us. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.